All right, welcome back in. Carpenter and Rothman, Anthony Rothman, Bobby Carpenter, and our guy, ESPN college basketball analyst, the great Dan Dockich. He's on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Double D, good to have you.
Oh, it's great to be with you guys. How are you?
We're good. So, all right, so we'll definitely do a ton on Ohio State, but I don't want to bury the lead because we talked about the general coming back to Assembly Hall. It finally happened. The long stroll, the backstage camera, the buildup, the suspense. Everybody's out there waiting for him, Isaiah Thomas and company. Your thoughts on his return. Was that a game, by the way, that you were originally would be calling IU-Purdue or no?
Yeah, they gave me the option. I could either, you know, go to Virginia or, excuse me, go to Louisville, Virginia, or go to the event. And I didn't want to go to the event, so I took Louisville, Virginia. Hey, it was nice. I mean, I don't have a relationship with Knight. I don't like him. I don't like his family. But to me, when I saw it, people were like, "Oh, didn't you cry?" I go, "No, I barely watched it. I was in the media room." But what I did watch was, I felt bad for Knight. I felt bad for Coach Knight. When your entire vision, or mostly the entire vision of him on that court, is of him being, you know, the dominant guy, the leader, the big, you know. And then you see him like that. I thought two things. I thought, man, I hope, and I don't know what the official diagnosis is. I've heard so many people, you know, amateur doctors, amateur psychiatrists. I don't know. I was just with his doctor the week before, and his doctor, Larry Rink, said, you know, Dan, we're not really officially diagnosing what he has. We're not sure yet. I just was hoping that, like, he could appreciate what was happening around him. I don't know that he did. I don't know that he didn't. I was just really hoping that he could, because there was, you know, there was a lot of adulation from fans. There was obviously, you know, former players were there. And then the second thing I thought of was, man, just watching him, how hard it must be, even though I don't get along with the family or care for the family, how hard it must be for everybody around him, you know, his wife, and those are the two things that I thought. Isaiah doing Isaiah things and all that stuff, that's all fine. And a lot of former players felt like a little different than what normal people felt. A lot of people felt like, well, this gives great closure to Indiana. I'll be honest with you, I don't know what that means. The only thing I know is a lot of former players were like, look, it was kind of like we were in a cage. This was a circus. Now, get all you former players the hell out of our life and let us move on with the program. It's kind of what, you know, some guys expressed to me. I didn't really see it that way because I didn't really watch it that closely. I watched come out, and then Jason Benetti and I said, hey, let's go in and get ready for the game. But I thought, I just felt, man, dementia, Alzheimer's, whatever you want to say he has, is so horrible. I just hope that he was able to internally, you know, appreciate and understand everything that was going on around him. The funny thing, though, was this. I asked people that were there, like, hey, man, couldn't really tell on TV, was it crazy? And a buddy of mine goes, Dan, it was loud, it was good, but it's hard to cheer when everybody's holding a cell phone. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's got a cell phone up. People thought, well, it's going to blow the roof off this place. And it was great, but everybody said the same thing. Like, man, did you see how many people are holding cell phones?
It's a good point.
Exactly.
Good
point. Yeah. But the love was there, and like I said, man, I just hope to hell that he's able to understand it. I really do. And it didn't necessarily look like he did, and it didn't necessarily look like he didn't.
He had some tears. I saw some tears at the end. I did see his kind of glassy eyed.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing with Vitell, here's the thing with that. Like, it was in the time that I watched, it was the only time that I saw Bob Knight, his eyes flash to real. And I said that on my show, and a lot of people corrected me. They said, Dan, look, what I saw was the same look in my father's eyes when he had dementia, or my uncle's eyes, or my husband's eyes when he had dementia, and you did something to him unexpectedly. I always said, and I always told Knight this, I go, man, you just thrive on confrontation. You get excited. Like, that keeps your juices flowing. And that's what I thought I saw, but a lot of people that have dealt with dementia and Alzheimer's have told me differently. So I don't know. I thought it was a great night for him, and I thought it was an awful night in terms of Indiana basketball players and their coaches because they were awful in the game. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, you're not wrong, Daniel. It's interesting. I ran into fellow alumnus like yourself, Sage Steele, who went back for the game, a coworker of ours. I was just asking her about her emotions, and she was sitting there, and part of it was, she's like, she wanted to see him back, but she brought her daughter there, who had never got a chance to know him as a coach, and trying to explain it to her, like you said, this older man now that you look at who has kind of been stripped away of a lot of the bravado and the power that he used to possess. But she said she thought it was important because it was such a big piece of her life in Indiana basketball, and wanted her daughter to be able to see that, who was only 18 years old and never knew Knight as a coach, only as this myth and legend that people talked about, that she would begin to watch and show B-roll on all the the crazy antics that he had.
Yeah, I don't really understand that. I'm not gonna lie, I don't really get that. I mean, I just don't. I mean, I know she was crying and she's been on my show talking about it, and that's great. I just we all don't understand each other. Get that. I mean, she was a student. Indiana was a place. She was a coach. I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I was there 16 years, and I didn't feel any of that. I was just like, all right. But maybe I'm just a cold-hearted person and not, people have said those kind of things, and I always ask, well, why? I mean, why is...
You were in it. You were too close to it, and I you're not wrong. You are not wrong. I think if you were a student there, then it's kind of like he was my coach. And when you're a student, you look back at things and it was part of your evolution as just a sports fan. You were a player. You were a coach. You were so on the inside of it that I totally understand your view of not being able to get that. I do.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be a jerk. People ask me my opinion, and I'm not going to lie to you. I was a little bit surprised at my, not lack of feeling, because I had unbelievable empathy for Coach Knight. Unbelievable, like, golly. But I didn't, I don't know, so many people have said, well, we got the closure we want. And I get that people say things and they don't know what they really mean. So that's when I always ask, I go, what do you mean by that? Well, Bobby Knight came and we cheered him. I said, okay, all right.
I'll tell you what I think it means as a student or a fan. I think it's that if you go through that, if you were a student there when Bobby Knight delivered a national title, when that team delivered it, whether it was 81, 87, whatever, I think that when he got fired, whatever it was, you were on each side of it or whatever, I think that the fan, if you were there, you wanted somehow that time and now the time is gone so you could make peace with it. You wanted him back on that center court because it meant something to you when you were a student. And now the closure is for the individual, right? Nobody wanted him to go to his grave, I guess, if you were a student there at the time that he won the title, of never going back there. I think it's a superficial closure. I know.
I don't get it. I mean, here, Ube Blob said this, and Ube's the smartest guy ever to play at Indiana. He's Phi Beta Kappa. He's, while we were all watching college basketball on Tuesday night or Big Monday, he was he was developing a computer program. So Ube said, look, I agree. It was, and he loves Knight, and he couldn't come back. He had a medical procedure, couldn't fly. But he's like, I get it. It was great that all the players were back. It was great the coach came back. But it doesn't change the fact that Indiana University really treated Knight and all the former players of Knight horribly for a number of years. And I thought that was an interesting perspective because Ube is one of those guys that can go for 35 minutes on how great Coach Knight influenced his career and in many ways his life, and in many ways, his life from a negative stand. He had influence. But when Ube said that, I don't necessarily agree with him that Knight shouldn't have been fired. I don't think he should. Let me put it this way. Knight would never have been fired if he was winning at the same level as he won from 87 to 93. I don't care if he grabbed a kid. I don't care what the hell he did. They were never going to fire. That's Ube's point. He goes, this whole thing is a bit fake and fraudulent. I don't think he said those words, but that's, you know, and he's one of my best friends. And I was surprised. It's funny, you know. I give fans great credit, and as you said, students great credit. They seem to have a more, what's the right word, a better grasp of that than any former player I talked to, like Todd Leary, who hit a bunch of threes in the national semifinal in the Final Four, said, you know, how dysfunctional are we as an Indiana basketball? He calls it the Kardashians of college basketball, the IU basketball fan. It's just weird. There's 40-year gripes that haven't been resolved on the 1980 team with guys. I mean, I just sit back and go, damn. You know, people say to me, well, you know, why don't you like Coach Snyder? Why is your problem? I go, look, I was there 16 years. Isaiah, you were there 2. Del Whitman, you were there 5. And a lot, most of it had to do with the years after I left Bowling Green, or I left Indiana, as opposed to the years that I was there, because of how he did things, you know, to try to get me fired at different times at ESPN and other places. So I'm like, the hell with this. So, you know, it's like it literally is like the Kardashians or whatever, you know, the Addams family or whatever the hell you want to call it, man. It's nuts, these guys.